Before we begin, I just want to take a moment to express a word of thanks. First, to Almighty God for bringing me to this day. Second, to Pastor Mentzer for asking me to preach. I think I now know the meaning of in a New York minute because I answered him yes before the question was even out of his mouth. Had I ever preached? Must be the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But he asked me if I had ever preached in the sanctuary, and I said no, but that I would love to. So, and last but certainly not least, to my family and my friends and my seminary and support group, and to you, the congregation, for your prayers and support as I continue to discern God's call on my life. So may we bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. O Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Amen. When I read this brief encounter of Martha and Mary in the gospel, one thing comes to mind. That's word problems. Most of you will probably remember them from your school days. Math problems where train A starts out at 9 a.m. at 100 miles an hour traveling east. Train B starts out at 50 miles an hour traveling west. How soon before they collide? Our biblical word problem goes like this. Martha gets up in the morning, traveling 100 miles an hour as soon as... Cut out on me this morning, too. I think Martha's the poster girl for the 1980s Army recruiting commercial, you may remember it, that says we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. So that's Martha. Along the way, her train stops to pick up passengers, worries and distractions, Jesus calls them. On the other hand, Jesus is moving at a slower pace, moving with purpose toward Jerusalem. On the way, he stops, not to pick up passengers, but to heal, to spend time with sinners, to encourage, to teach, and to challenge the self-righteous, and spend time in prayer and meditation with God. In our gospel story, Jesus is headed toward Martha, and there will be a collision. Our daily lives are filled with worries and distractions. Your train and mine are careening down the tracks of life at 100 miles an hour. There's no time to slow down, let alone time to stop long enough to sit at Jesus' feet. We find ourselves pulled in so many directions with family, friends, work, and church obligations that we experience a physical reaction. We're tired. Many of us, like me, get really cranky. Some of us become irritable, frustrated. Our bodies hunched over as if we're carrying the weight of the world and we're bracing ourselves for the next catastrophe to hit. Spiritually, we feel dry. We feel as if we've entered a desert. There's no time left, let alone strength or will, to pray and spend time in the Word. We have no moisture. We feel dry, no oasis to retreat to, where we can find solace from the cares of the day. Today, Jesus is heading toward you, and he's heading toward me, and sooner or later, we will collide with Jesus. And most of you, I probably remember this story of Martha and Mary from Bible school, from Sunday school, so from little on up, you remember this story, and it's endured with you and stayed with you. What does this story have to tell us today? First, when we follow Jesus, what we expect collides with the unexpected. Second, God's call collides with our need. And third, a collision with Jesus reveals that we can't do ministry all by ourselves. I'm sure that Martha expected to be praised for being industrious, for doing ministry, and for her hospitality, and at the same time either expected or was hoping that Jesus would chastise her sister Mary for not doing anything, for just sitting. Martha did not expect to hear a contradiction to God's commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. This story of Martha and Mary comes right on the heels of the Good Samaritan, which we heard last week. We learned from the Good Samaritan that anyone who does not look like us, may not talk the same language, speak the same language, not come from the same country as we do. However, if they are in need, they are our neighbor, and we are to serve them and be served by them. Christ collided with the religious of his day when he challenged them to serve and be served by folks that were considered to be out of God's care and concern. He collides with and issues the same challenge to us, the religious of our day, to go and do likewise. According to this story, the Good Samaritan, Martha was doing the better part. She was doing what was expected of her. Immediately after the story of Martha and Mary comes the beginning of chapter 11 in Luke, where the disciples request Jesus to teach them to pray. This is just the opposite of the active hands-on approach of Martha. The disciples took notice that Jesus prayed before significant events in his life. He would withdraw every day to pray and be in communion with God, but we notice that in the significant events in his life, especially, before he chose the 12, when he was at table with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the cross. Jesus sought direction from God before he went out and did. These three short verses from Luke appear to be in complete contradiction to the gospel lesson for today. In light of the disciples' request for prayer and time with God, Mary is doing the better part. In reality, both Martha and Mary are doing what is faithful. So what is the challenge for us when these two doing and being come together? The challenge is to maintain balance and focus on God's work done by our hands, not our work being done by God's hands. Those who do to the exclusion of being are setting themselves up as God and are of the opinion that they know exactly what God wants done. Those in a constant state of being risk inaction. They want to make sure that what the direction that they're receiving is definitely a call from God. So they analyze it from every angle. They study it. And all the while, nothing is being done for those folks who are truly in need. And so the peace of God and the good news of God's care and forgiveness becomes the best kept secret in town. In church, this action versus inaction can lead to sniping and disagreement among the members of the congregation. And so God's call collides with our need. Wedged between the story of the Good Samaritan and the disciples' request to learn how to pray, the being, we find the story of Martha and Mary. A story that shows us that doing and being are an important part of following Christ. With one sentence uttered to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." We ask, what is that one thing that Martha needs? Does Martha need to stop her ministry altogether and take a seat beside Mary? These seemingly contradictory words from Jesus give us pause. Some say that our call individually as Christians and corporately as the church is to make the world a better place, to bring God's kingdom to earth, to serve, to spread the good news, and to help our neighbors. Others say that prayer, study, and reflection are important. One must be right with God. We resolve this collision with the question, are we doing the ministry that we want to do, or are we doing the ministry that God is calling us to do? Ministry can become the be-all and end-all of our lives. We can do it for our own purposes. Self-serving to further our own agenda, to gain notoriety for ourselves or the church. If we look into the corners of our lives and of our hearts that we don't want to expose to the light of day, and be honest with ourselves, we know why we do our ministry. We know what those real reasons are. Apart from Christ, our ministry serves our own purposes and not God's. This gospel story doesn't tell us what Martha expected to get out of her ministry. We can only project onto her what we expect to get from ours. Ministry is wonderful, and it's one of the calls on us as children of God when we follow Jesus. As a child of God, we think we know what Jesus wants us to do. So we start to believe our own press and how wonderful we are and how wonderful the ministry is that we're doing and what a great contribution to society we're making. It becomes ministry on our own terms and for our own purposes, to further our own agenda, perhaps to make contacts, to get noticed, and to get a reward. We begin to hold out ourselves as the gold standard for how ministry should be done, and we feel smug in our service and free to judge and criticize others for what we perceive as a lack of service on their part. Consciously or unconsciously, we keep generating good reasons to serve ourselves in the name of Jesus. Until a collision with Jesus reveals to us that we can't do ministry all by ourselves. As children of God, we are called to be God's servants, but as St. Paul says, apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. If we can't do ministry all by ourselves, how can we do it? As my father used to say, and I think some of you here knew my dad, he would say in his elementary school principal voice to my brother and I, when all else fails, if we would go run headlong into a game or a school project that didn't quite turn out the way we wanted it to, my brother and I would always hear, "Did you read the directions?" Jesus Christ asks us the same thing. Have you read the directions? Have you read my directions? Have you taken the time to sit with me, read, listen, understand what I'm saying before you rush out to do ministry? When we don't take time to read the Bible, pray, meditate, or immerse ourselves in the teaching of Jesus, we forget that our ministry means nothing apart from the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A collision with Jesus results in a life. As the stories of the Gospel of Luke tell us, those who collided with Christ were forever changed. The demoniac that we heard about several weeks ago was healed in body, mind, and spirit. The would-be follower of Christ who wanted to bury his father before he would commit to following Jesus was basically told that following Christ is not a 9-to-5 job. You can't go back once you've committed to the life that you knew before. And those who thought themselves religious were challenged by the story of the Good Samaritan. Both the priest and the Levite knew in their heart what they were to do. They knew the law of Moses, that they were to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. Yet they ignored it and passed by the injured man on the road. Martha was doing her ministry a little too well. Like the helicopter parent of today, I don't know if you've heard that term, but helicopter parents are ones who hover over their children and make sure that the way is smooth for them and they're not out of reach for their children. They want to make sure that they take care of all the issues and the bumps of the road in life for their children. Martha, I think, was a helicopter disciple. She was trying to do hospitality better than anyone. Martha's being, came from her doing, as does ours, and she collided with Jesus. Those who collide with Jesus are warned, they are challenged, they are healed, and they are forgiven. I was so excited the other Sunday when Pastor Sadie was talking about her new ministry that she's forming, her neighborhood ministry, which I understand she's still taking committee members. So, this committee is going to be serving the neighborhood in and around Holy Trinity. These folks that sign up for this committee know that there is a lot of work to be done in this neighborhood. However, before they even start, they are going to spend time at Jesus' feet in prayer, in meditation, in discussion. They're going to walk the neighborhood, and I'm sure Jesus will be walking with them as they walk the neighborhood to help them see what needs to be done. This will help them to discern how they can best serve the neighborhood, the needs of the people, and how they can best be God's presence, and how their hands can do God's work. After a collision with Jesus, our lives are different. Our focus is shifted from ourselves to something bigger and better. We become open to what God in Christ Jesus has done in the past, is doing today in the present, and will do in the future. This brief but enduring story tells us when we follow Jesus, what we expect collides with the unexpected. That God's call collides with our needs, and a collision with Jesus tells us that we cannot do ministry all by ourselves. Is your train traveling at 100 miles an hour or more, racing along the tracks of life out of control? Jesus is calling you to a holy collision, to stop, look, and listen. Slow down and spend time with him. How long before each of us collides with Jesus? It happens every day. And when it does, we are never the same. When we collide with Christ, our lives and our ministry are transformed into a better way of doing and being. And Christ promised us, as he promised Mary, that this will never be taken away from us. Amen.